All right, you're back in the DFSR, and we're here with our NFL podcast for Tuesday, September 6th. I am Doug Norrie. That is... Nice. Was that like you hot hiking?
Yeah, that's like ha ha ha.
Yeah, the new thing you do that
drops. I still want to increase the production value, so that's my ha 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 ha. Just so you know, it's the NFL podcast. That's...
Well, Omaha is the new hut. Like no one says
Omaha.
Yeah, no one says hut anymore. It's Omaha. So we'll work on that. We'll work on that offline. We're from DFSR.com or DailyFantasySportsRankings.com. If you like to just use your keyboard a little bit more, you can head over to the site now. You can grab a free trial through Sunday, Week One NFL, which is going to give you access to our projections, our optimal lineups for FanDuel and DraftKings, and also Player Lab, which is a new state-of-the-art filtering tool that we have that basically allows you to look up an NFL player as a bunch of different criteria, allows you to make cash games and GPPs for FanDuel and DraftKings. We're really excited about it. We feel like it's about the best in the industry. You head over.
Sort your player pools by all sorts of different things, like how good the opposing cornerback is, your quarterback's completion percentage, just basically whatever you want. So yeah, good stuff.
100% DFSR.com/lab, L-A-B. That gets you a free trial of that through the first week of NFL and also includes our MLB projections along with it, all under one umbrella. Then just $29.95 a month after that. So I think we offer about the best price point in the industry with the most to offer. Really excited by what we have going on now. Buddy, let's talk some football. We're really going to get into the picks in earnest as we have our main picks article will either go up today, later on today, or early tomorrow morning. We're just about done with those, but there was some news over the weekend that I would like to discuss that's not going to hit that article right away. First,
I'm willing to do that.
That's awesome.
Yes,
it's actually in your contract that you have to, so you don't really have...
I don't have a contract, but continue.
You should. Okay, so a couple big pieces of news over the weekend. One is Sam Bradford gets traded to the Vikings. Vikings give up, I think, like a first-round pick. People go crazy because I think people think, what do the Vikings think they're trading for here? We're giving up just a bunch of, seems like, sort of future assets to with the potential to maybe sort of win now. I'm not really sure. Bradford goes, he goes from the starting quarterback in Philly to the starting quarterback in Minnesota, leaving Carson Wentz to now start for the Eagles. Let's start on the Bradford to the Vikings side of things. How does this affect anything really? We talked about how losing Bridgewater for the Vikings definitely did hurt them, though. We were kind of, they weren't totally fantasy relevant to begin with, a lot of these receivers. How does the Bradford thing affect things in Minnesota now?
Yeah, so I think Bradford, so I'm going to take the devil's advocate side of the Bradford trade. I mean, it's certainly from a fantasy perspective, but just in general, I think that one of the things that people really struggle with in evaluating quarterbacks on are interceptions and, as they relate to completion percentage. So I think that, yes, Bradford made a lot of mistakes last season and it was ugly. I mean, everything was ugly in Philly last year. That being said, he was often in a pretty undesirable situation with the Eagles trailing big or, being forced to make throws that, not really in his wheelhouse. I'm not sure that that'll change that much for the Vikings, but, I mean, Bradford's a guy with a 65% completion rate last year. That just doesn't line up with a guy who has a 19 touchdown to 14 interception ratio. Mm-hmm. So you're looking at a pretty efficient passer who, inherits a kind of a bad offense, but blessedly, they're not going to ask him to do a lot, right? Like, it's not like he's going to have to throw long downfield balls. The Vikings do have a reasonable defense and obviously a terrific running game. So I could see him being a useful fantasy quarterback, not in a season-long league or anything like that. But for daily purposes, like especially, let's say he goes out there and struggles week one, I could see him being priced in such a way. I could see him being priced in the same way that, like, the really bottom of the barrel guys are. And I can see that being incorrect, I guess, is my take on it right now. And even at 6,900, frankly, I think there's a lot of upside in a new situation just because he could go out there and just make a bunch of short passes and have 250 passing yards and two touchdowns, So, yeah, that's kind of my take on a high level. All that being said, you're not going to play him in a cash game, obviously, week one. You'll always take, Dak Prescott, who's frankly probably similar in terms of a raw upside perspective at 1,900 less. But, yeah, I mean, he's... I think the takes are a little bit too harsh just because people have trouble evaluating, like, is this guy elite? Well, no. But they have trouble evaluating, like, that next tier, you know, of non-elite guys. It's just their guy's bad and he's bad and we're not going to talk about it anymore. So I think that's unfair.
It clearly helps the Vikings for this season as opposed to what they were going to, you know, the Sean King parade, which probably wasn't even frankly going to
Sean
last.
Hill. Sean King. Oh, Sean King. Really, apologies. Really been a disaster.
Sorry. I got my bad Sean quarterbacks mixed
bad
up.
SHAU and Sean's.
The Sean Hill thing probably wasn't going to last even if it lasted more than a week. So it does help. It does help some of their receiving core though. Those guys weren't, you know, exciting to begin with. It probably, to me, I was getting a little more bearish on Peterson because I just worried that they, you know, teams weren't going to have to do anything but focus on him. It does help him a little bit in terms of just his overall, I think, upside. He was already just elite, so there wasn't a ton of room for him to go up, but I did think that the Bridgewater thing was going to hurt him. I think this does help him a little bit. On the Eagles side of the ball, the Eagles, I believe, had come into this season saying, I thought at first they had just said they were going to sit Wentz out the whole year. Like they were just going to let Bradford take the helm. They were going to have Wentz just sort of get ready to be an NFL quarterback. You know, he comes out of a smaller college program, so he was already maybe a little bit behind in preparation in terms of that. Then the Eagles, you know, I think they were going to just say, okay, you know what, lost season, no big deal, playing for the future. He goes from that situation to a backup to now the starter in week one. What does this do for him or the Eagles? I'm interested to hear your take. I have some thoughts here, but I mean, when starting for the Eagles, anything to get excited about here?
Well, I think it significantly downgrades the rest of the Eagles for me. I think some people are going to see this as, you know, being better somehow, but for me, it does not. You know, Jordan Matthews had a pretty good rapport with Sam Bradford. Again, you know, all aspersions aside, like he was fine last year and, you know, top 25 wide receiver, very attractively priced. I think this definitely downgrades my forecast for him because we just don't know, right? I mean, to your point, like Wentz obviously is a sort of a transcendent talent, but it's really hard to unexpectedly be put in the starting quarterback role. All that being said, obviously you're going to get him for essentially for free anywhere you want to play him. So a more interesting question might be something like, do you want Dak Prescott or Carson Wentz for week one? I think that's a conversation we can have, but I don't think that any sane person, even if you think he's a better talent than Sam Bradford, any sane person looks at this and says like, oh yeah, this is definitely going to be good for the rest of the skill position guys on Philadelphia.
This seems crazy for them to do that. This, frankly, I was really, really shocked. Like, well, it's funny too, because I wasn't even aware of the Sam Bradford trade, and my Casey, who did our college football stuff, he and I were texting each other back and forth. He's a big Eagles guy, and he was, you know, talking me up on Zach Ertz, loves Ertz, you know, loves that Doug Peterson really valued the tight end in his offensive scheme. And then he just sent me a text that just said, I'm no longer high on Zach Ertz. And I was thinking, oh, what happened? And then I just immediately went to the wire. And of course, Sam Bradford gets traded. I'm with you. I think it downgrades those guys significantly where you just can't trust really anything coming out of Philadelphia. They could get killed. This is, again, Wentz. I'm not a talent evaluator for NFL, so I don't really try to be, and I don't think really common, just regular DFS people just shouldn't be in general because there's just people that do it better, and they spend more time looking at film and actually understanding these things. It seems to me like everything I read about Wentz is like this just doesn't seem like he's anywhere close to being able to just step onto an NFL field and be and just play 16 games as a starter for the NFL. I just think this to me just buzzes off every single Phillies guy, and including Ryan Matthews too, like in the run game. I just can't see how they can get anything going consistently in what was already probably going to be a conservative offense. It seems like an Eagles disaster really for me from a fantasy perspective.
Yeah, absolutely. I do think it's interesting to compare him to Dak Prescott this week, though, because this is going to be a decision people are going to have to make. It's certainly a question we're going to get. So, yeah, while objectively speaking, it's bad for the rest of the guys on the Eagles, there is the question of Wentz himself, right? And I think, you know, just I was going to mention this during the Bradford to the Vikings piece and how people – so I heard on hopefully they won't. I'm just going to repeat somebody's words, so hopefully they won't be too upset about this. But I think it was Eric Carabell on the Fantasy Focus podcast at ESPN, and they'll be grateful for all the extensive traffic we'll drive their way from that mention. First one's free, buddy. Next time you got to pay for it. But
server crash on their end once people start listening
exactly.
to this.
Hopefully they're ready for the traffic. But he said something like, "I had Bradford ranked 28, and this doesn't change my ranking about him at all. So that should tell you something." And what that tells me is just that it's not relevant for season-long players to rank the 28th overall quarterback in a given week. So, yeah, it doesn't change much. And if he's wrong and Bradford's actually, well, the 22nd best quarterback now or whatever, and maybe he's not, you know, his going from Philly to the Vikings I don't think really increases his stock necessarily. But I will say that it does behoove us in the DFS community to actually go through the nitty-gritty and figure out, like, okay, which of these bad quarterbacks is a better play this week? And do any of them cross the threshold into, you know, big tournament playable, into cash game playable? So that's kind of what I was hoping to talk about in this regard.
Yeah, I mean, to me, I can't even really compare Prescott and Wentz because I just think they're, and again, we're using a very, very small sample size to
make
this.
Can't compare them. That's pretty strong.
I don't think so. I just think that they have so many differences in, I won't even forget the talent piece of it, right? In limited sample size, what they've shown in preseason, Wentz has been not good, right? He's 50% completion. He's only thrown, he threw 24 total passes in the preseason for 89 yards at a 50% completion rate. Okay, again, I don't know which unit he was playing with. I didn't watch the Eagles preseason games, so I'm not going to pretend to know that. That's pretty bad, right? I mean, comparatively, Bradford was 32 for 40, so he was completing passes at an amazing clip, actually.
Yeah, and like he does. I mean, Bradford is, I think, underrated based on last season's performance.
Prescott has a better offensive line, has probably a better matchup, has a better wide receiver one, has a better running game behind him. Really, just everything is better. Prescott has the ability to get out and scramble, which I'm not positive is part of Wentz's repertoire. So this just me. I just don't see it as. I don't even really see them as a comparison. I really wouldn't consider playing Wentz in any fashion at all. I mean, I guess price is a consideration. He's cheap, but it just doesn't. This is a total stay away for me. And I even understand the part where, like, well, any guy on any given Sunday can go out and do something. Yeah, I kind of hear that. This doesn't seem like the situation that's going to happen, like, one time out of 100 or maybe for him to, like, really just explode it out of the box. It's just not something that interests me. It's a total stay away.
Yeah, I think that's spot on. I mean, it's worth noting, too, Wentz did have a broken wrist last season, too. So that's a little bit troubling and wasn't especially efficient for the one game he played, I think, was when he came back. But yeah, nonetheless, I think Prescott also just in a better offense, or at least an offense that performed better last season, a better offensive line. I think that it's a pretty clear one for me as well. And it's just the running ability too, I should mention.
Yeah.
Prescott's superior running ability. That's something that translates a lot more quickly in the NFL. We've seen this countless times with Vince Young or Marcus Mariota or James Winston, even to a lesser degree. Mm-hmm. I like Prescott's chances quite a bit.
Yeah. So, and I think, and you know, we wrote him up in the picks. I think you see, I know we didn't mean to go down the Prescott road here, but we, you know, Prescott, I think you see as a pretty chalky play going into week one, which was something we'll get into podcast for Thursday morning when we start going through the picks. The other piece of news that hit, I believe, just before we started recording was that Thomas Rawls is not going to start for the Seahawks this week. This was part of a concern coming in about what his availability was going to be week one. It does not appear now. Am I getting the news right here on this that he's not going to start? Okay.
Yep. The news right now, according to Pete Carroll, is that he doesn't want to rush Rawls, who's dealing with a little bit of an ankle problem. Mm-hmm. He does say that he wants him to carry the ball quite a bit week one, so it doesn't seem like Christian Michael's going to get, you know, just every single carry for them necessarily, but for me, it obviously makes Christian Michael a fantastic big tournament play. I mean, Michael's absurdly cheap on FanDuel. He's 4,800. So he's going to be a guy you're going to have to consider no matter what. And if we get a little closer, I mean, I wouldn't even be surprised to hear that Rawls is scratched before game time, or if Michael gets out there and does a good job, if Rawls is really in like a third down back sort of mode. So it would not surprise me at all, you know, reasonable matchup with Miami if Rawls winds up being a chalk play on some of the major sites as things get a little closer.
You said Rawls, you mean Michael?
I'm sorry, Michael,
yeah.
Yes.
I think that's a injury news piece, and we'll have to wait, you know, with these new NFL injury designations. We're still trying to play a sort of a wait-and-see approach on how teams are going to just exactly use those things. So this is one where we could get into Sunday, and like you said, Rawls just is, it doesn't seem like he's going to start at this point. So I think that we can take off the table, but that the last piece of information is he even going to suit up, right?
Like we might see him be inactive for week one. That would not shock me at all. And again, that limited role, or even the quite a bit, that sounds to me a lot more like hedging than any guy who's serious about putting Rawls in there, because what's the point, right? I mean, if he goes out there and makes these announcements, what's the point in then going and putting Rawls in there for 15 carries in a week one game? It just doesn't strike me as very likely. So And Seattle, heavy favorite, by the way. Just, I think they're the most favored team in week one. So yeah, they are. So I don't see any reason at all why it's not Christian Michael left, right, and center, and maybe the occasional Rawls pick. But yeah, I'm already talking myself into Michael for cash games.
And in terms of just NFL coach speak, this doesn't sound to me like cat and mouse kind of stuff. This just sounds like you said, like sort of just hedging. Like, we think we know what we're going to do here, and we're kind of getting out ahead of it and just maybe just letting people know. And then as we get closer to it, you could just see him. So that's a piece of news that we will be following heading up to it. And like you said, if Michael were to just be the full-on starter here, he would be a phenomenal, phenomenal play on both sides.
Even at halftime, I mean, $4,800 is free, right? So
well, the only
that's,
reason
– that's like the you pay that price for like wide receiver force.
No, I totally agree. The only reason that on this week, as opposed to most other weeks in the NFL, and this is something we talked about before, is that this week is a little different just because the pricing on both sites was released so early that there are so many of these plays now where it's just not clear. Like on a normal week in the NFL, like even honestly, if this was just week two, right, where they had less time to let the pricing just sit out there and hang, that this would be a pretty clear situation. The only reason it's not is just because there's a bevy of these situations that have now cropped up over the last month since they released pricing with guys like Spencer Ware, with guys like Dak, you know, even right. In the receiving core, Tajay Sharpe is going to be a guy that shows up because he's so cheap. So while those guys all exist sort of on a different spectrum than each other, and they're not all created equal in terms of value, there are just a lot of different value plays that have creeped up because the pricing has been there so long. So that's the only reason I would say he wouldn't be uber chalk if he were to be the top line guy. That being said, it would be a great play if he was.
He's going to be, I think he'll be heavily, heavily owned. So we'll see.
All right, the other piece of news, I don't know how much this ranks in the news category, or we're just kind of looking, NFL at this time, you know, is... We're trying to really read between the lines in certain things. But Kelvin Benjamin, coming off the injury from last year, it said that he's only going to get about 30 to 40 snaps this week coming into Sunday. Is Benjamin a guy that you had been looking at ahead of time, you know, the Newton to Benjamin thing? Or, well, I mean, obviously this downgrades him. But what does this do for, you know, the Panthers as a whole, as a team, in terms of fantasy relevance?
Right. I think that's really the big question here. You were going to play Benjamin week one regardless, probably just because he's so speculative. But, you know, looking forward, if he continues to be really attractively priced, I think we can think a lot more seriously about him. I guess the bigger question is, you know, how does this affect Greg Olsen? How does this affect Devin Funchess? I think it really boost the stock of both of those guys this week. I mean, we already sort of knew this in advance, and maybe, you know, I don't think either is a great play against Denver. So this is one of those situations where we can wait and see regardless, but it'll be very, very interesting to monitor for week two, how the targets are distributed. So really, again, for week one, we're not going to keep a close eye on it, but if you're trying to get into this seriously, you're going to want to really pay attention to, you know, these trends as they emerge, right? Because, yeah, none of these guys are probably going to be terrific against Denver. Much more interesting is where they're looking and what they're trying to do, even if they don't succeed, because when they have a much better matchup in week two, you are going to be able to consider these guys again. So, so that's kind of, for me, it's a wait and see thing. I am curious to see how Benjamin does and obviously to read reports on him going forward, but I probably won't try to catch a falling knife on Benjamin and try to figure out, like, is this the week that he's going to be, you know, the big comeback story, you know? Still at 5,700, I bet that you will get a game where, you know, like, the thing to watch with Benjamin would be is if we do get a week where he has, like, 58 snaps and 9 targets but doesn't haul a bunch of them in, the next week after that will be a great week to speculate on him kind of returning to like wide receiver two-ish status. So.
Well, I think it's a great point you made about Denver, because it's actually – I think we in some ways luck out that they're playing Denver this week, because we don't really need to have him on our radar. And but it will also – we'll be able to evaluate sort of what the Panthers' plan was. And then also people will, you know, people tend to look back at a game log and be like, oh, these guys stink or whatever, you know, like, oh, down week for the Panthers, and not really evaluate who they were playing. So so going into week two or beyond, we'll have the jump on plan for when they get into like one of those better matchups going forward. Yeah. And I think this is the perfect time because we don't need to sweat it out this week. You don't want to play guys against an elite defense really anyway. And so we get gifted them not having to worry about it and also gifted a piece of information going forward. So I think we're going to be in a good spot going week two and beyond.
Yep, I think that's right. And I think that, you know, there's a kind of a similar-ish situation going on in Tennessee right now. Kendall Wright looks like, I mean, he's resumed running and people think he might clear for Sunday's opener against the Vikings. He's obviously not a guy that's going to be on your fantasy radar right away. But if he's out there, that's obviously going to ding down the value of guys like Tajay Sharpe that we are really excited about. I mean, Sharpe's still ridiculously affordable, probably not anything to sweat. But again, just another thing to sort of keep an eye on, right? Because we've talked about this in football many times, but there really is a fixed pie of opportunity in football. It's not like baseball where, you know, if some guys hit, that actually makes more opportunities for other players because there's more at-bats to go around and more runs to score and so on. Like, you know, only one receiver can be targeted per play. So as those pies get whittled down, it starts to chip away at the value and the upside of everyone involved. So just another one to kind of keep on your radar, especially if you're trying to use Sharp to win a GPP or something like that. So we have another new segment. We did this on our baseball podcast today, but I'm pumped for it for football season two because I think football is really the killer app of one of our new sponsors, which is NoHalftime.com. So if you don't know about NoHalftime, what it allows you to do is go over to their app and either create a challenge or accept a challenge where essentially you play a one-on-one fantasy contest. So what does that look like? So you can go in there and say pit Odell Beckham versus Antonio Brown or Cam Newton versus Rodgers or even like Ezekiel Elliott versus Todd Gurley if you really wanted to get crazy. Creating a challenge takes seconds. You just go into the app, pick your player, pick the opposing player, and go from there. And accepting challenges is even easier. So hundreds of players have already put out challenges for week one. So you can go in there and decide, like, this guy thinks Cam Newton's going to be better than Aaron Rodgers. He's insane. Accept, you know. They're also offering a special promo code. So it's DFSR25, where you get 100% bonus up to $25. So what we'd like to do on our podcast now is do a little No Halftime challenge. So this is something you can do on No Halftime. Go and issue these challenges and see if they win. But you can also use them for your fantasy purposes, for DFS or for season-long fantasy, if you have a tough decision to make between two guys of similar prices. So the way the rules work, Doug, is I'm going to give you two players, and you're going to tell me which player you like better just on a strictly points basis for week one, okay, and then tell me why. So go. You game?
Yep, I'm game. Go.
So on FanDuel, you can get Drew Brees in the highest over-under game of the week, 51, against the Raiders at 8,700, or you can get Russell Wilson, 8,500, against Miami. So which one are you taking for week one?
That's a good one. Our system really likes Wilson. I'll take Wilson, just because I think that Wilson has more ways to create his points than Brees does, and so okay. I just think that his – more often than not, he'll hit his upside because he runs, because he can score, you know, using his legs. He is super efficient that he showed last year. He's one of the guys we wrote up this week for our picks, which we'll get to on Thursday. But I think I'll take Wilson there. And I think I'd be on the opposite side of most of those no halftime challenges because I think most people will take Brees for the reasons you mentioned.
I do too. Yeah.
Which, and by the way, I think Brees is fine. Like, that is a really great game to have him, but I don't know, like we said with the maybe no Rawls here thing here and yeah, I think I would take Wilson there. And like I said, I think I would put out that, and I think I would get that accepted by a bunch of people by taking the Wilson side.
Yeah, I think you're right. I mean, I think it's very close for me for, like, if you're looking for safety, for instance, because, yeah, Brees, I mean, it's a dream Vegas line for this, right? Yes. Highest total of the week, 51 points, negative one spread means that, you know, a lot of points are going to be scored, and there's going to be a lot of possessions to go around as both teams to kind of vie for the win there. Obviously, it's in New Orleans. Brees has always been better at home, so there's a really, really strong case. Wilson, on the other hand, the team, you know, very, very strong implied total for them. The problem, though, is the negative 10.5 spread. I mean, that's not always favorable for a quarterback. So I think that's going to be close. I think you're going to see a bigger cash game ownership for Brees week one. But I think Wilson almost unquestionably has higher upside just from the sheer fact that you get 10 points for, or 1 point for every 10 yards rushing versus only 1 point for every 25 yards passing. So,
and I think that's where our system is going to be a little separate, get some separation on some of these guys. Like Wilson is just one of those guys that might be off people's radar for reasons that just because a lot of other quarterbacks are in nice situations, Breeze included. And yep. I'm confident with that. I've really started because Wilson's a guy that came out near the top of our projections, really just right from the first time we ran it, and it hasn't moved. No matter, you know, we've been auditing the hell out of this thing since, you know, for the last 3 weeks.
Sure.
And really, just everything I can find about him in that projection seems correct to me, and I really like it. And I think that's a place where our system is going to separate a little bit on a guy like him because he is, to me, a very, very safe play. And I'm fine going with safety and things like no halftime challenges because I basically just want to win, you know, 6.5 times out of 10 on those, and I think that's a situation where I will do that with a guy like Wilson.
So you think Wilson presents more safety
than Breeze? Yeah, I do. Yeah, because mostly because for the reasons we said before, Breeze is accurate too, but just being able to run, I mean, that just it gives you so sure. many more, gives you so much more. It's such a higher implied floor. Like he was second or third in the league in quarterback rushing last year. He was
35 yards a game.
While also just becoming a more accurate passer. Like he increased his accuracy by something like 3 or 4% last year. And that was just all the right signs for a guy like him. And it doesn't even worry me that they're huge favorites because I actually don't think they're going to be in total blowout zone if Rawls isn't playing. So I'm totally confident with it.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I like our projection. I think we'll see in matchups like this as the season goes along that he averages more points than the average, you know, quarterback in this spot. I do think the rushing gives him quite a high floor. And I also like about him, you know, unlike some other teams, he really has to be involved in every play in that offense. Like, yeah, they're going to run the ball to Christian Michael or whoever, but I wouldn't be surprised if that's a lot of short passes as well. And, you know, in a game that they're going to want to win, you know, the first game of the season, Super Bowl aspirations, I think he plays a big role too. So I think that's solid. All right, let's try running back. So let's go with those cheap running backs for week one. If we're looking at Christian Michael versus, let's say, Spencer Ware for week one, who do you like in that?
Are we assuming Rawls is not playing? Are we getting like the full word that Rawls is not going to play in the game?
Not that he's not going to play, but it's kind of like what it is now, where he's sort of, you know, likely to get some snaps, but
yeah, I'll take that one's easy for me. I'll take Ware. Because okay. if there's any chance that Rawls sees like 10 carries or something like that, as they try to, you know, quote, bring him on slowly, I don't think you're going to see that from Jamaal Charles. And I think you'll see Spencer sure. Ware easily eclipse that. You know, the problem with Ware is that he doesn't catch any balls out of the backfield. So, that is troubling when you look at, you know, how much would he be involved on third down specifically, in, you know, where he's not going to be necessarily an every down back like, you know, Jamaal Charles is. So I'm not comparing Ware to Charles, but I'm comparing how the Chiefs probably would plan to use both. Like, he's just not an even swap into the offense like Charles is. So the fact that Ware doesn't catch any passes has me a little less bullish on him just from that standpoint. But I think
we know Kansas City loves to pass out of the backfield too. So
right, and
if you're saying that they're not going to use him in that role, that could be pretty problematic.
Well, they just haven't, right, in the past, I'm pretty sure.
Well, they did in the preseason. I mean, they didn't last year, but they also had Jamaal Charles on their team last year. But like in the last preseason game, he did catch 4 passes for 26 yards in limited time.
That's so interesting because
it wouldn't surprise me to have if they plug him in and just, you know, try to use him as a poor man's Charles until Charles gets back.
Okay, well, if that's the case, then it's the easiest thing ever for me. Then it's Ware. It was only close because I was worried about that one other piece of it, and I still wanted Ware in that situation. And that's something we'll go back and evaluate before we get going with the picks for this week, just to make sure that we have his targets correct. All right, let's wrap it up for today. We will be back here on Thursday morning taking a look at our picks for this week, our cash game picks for the NFL's first week as we get ready with that first Thursday game and then really, really start ramping up for Sunday. We're from dailyfantasysportsrankings.com, DFSR.com for short. You head over to the site, go to /lab, L-A-B. That gets you a free trial to our projection system through this Sunday and also gives you access to our brand new player lab, which is going to help you filter for really every different piece of criteria you could hope to get in NFL matchups, trends, really everything you're looking for. It's free from now through Sunday, and then it's just $29.95 a month after that, and you are all set to go for NFL. Buddy, I will talk to you again on Thursday, getting ready as we really ramp it up for football.
Yeah, man, can't wait.